Our Father, I just pray that you would be with us this morning, and once again, just open our hearts and our minds and help me as I endeavor to open the Word, and even now as I'm doing things in a slightly different manner than I'm normally comfortable with, be with me and help me to go through this smoothly and be able to express your truth, Father, that your truth would sink into our hearts and free us. Amen. So, of course, the first question is, what is justification? And justification is simply a legal term, really. And it would mean to secure a favorable verdict, to acquit, to vindicate, or to declare righteous. If a judge justifies someone, he gets no sentence. And through Scripture, we see the word justification, justify, justified. We see it used in many different ways. In theology, it gets defined and very specific. But then you open up your Bible and you see it used in different ways. You find Job saying in Job 9:20, if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. We find in First Corinthians 4:1-4, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. So here Paul is using the word justify to refer to his apostleship rather than salvation. And we find the word, Jesus says, but wisdom is justified of all her children. He's not talking about wisdom being saved. He's using the word justified in its general sense, its broad sense. We find in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, and received up into glory. Here we're obviously not talking about Jesus being a sinner and being declared righteous by God. He always was righteous. Jesus was not justified the same way we are justified, because we are justified as sinners whom God declares righteous. Jesus was justified as a holy, sinless God whom the world called a sinner, and he was vindicated to be righteous. He was justified, but not the same way we are. So we see that this word justified is used throughout Scripture in a number of different ways. Yet when it comes to theology and the way that we generally use the word, we use it very specifically. Because in general, to justify is simply a legal term, meaning to secure a favorable verdict, to acquit, to vindicate, and to declare righteous. But in specific, when we use the word justification in theology, we are talking about the act of God declaring us as unrighteous sinners to be righteous through the merit of Christ. And we find those sort of usages are actually the most common usages of the word justify. So it's very accurate. And the whole biblical picture as a whole, it is accurate to define justification with the theological usage that we generally give it. We find in Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Being justified by His grace. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. It's these sort of contexts from which we get our normal usage of the word justified. And we find in Romans 4:1 again, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Romans 4:1-7. So that is the general definition of justification. You have the general and the specific. It's a general word which we use in a specific way. And sanctification is the same in basic, in that sanctification also has a general meaning, and then in theology we give it a specific meaning. And it's very correct to do so, because it's the general tenor of the Bible. Sanctification in its most simple meaning is simply to set apart. So we see it in many random uses throughout Scripture, even much more so than justification. We have pots and pans were sanctified in the Old Testament. And all that meant was that this pan had a specific purpose in the temple. And to use it for any other purpose on earth was an abomination to God, because it was sanctified to this purpose. The priest had a fire poker that he poked that sacrifice on the altar with. And to use that fire poker for any other purpose was an abomination to God. And to use any other fire poker to poke that fire was an abomination, because it needed to be sanctified unto that purpose. Set apart from all other uses for this use. It was sanctified. And we find in Genesis 2:3 that God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. He set it apart. You had 6 days and you had the seventh day. He set it apart from the other ones. Distinguished it. Sanctified. We find in 1 Timothy 4, 3-5, that in the last days, perilous times will come, whatnot. I believe it's the same passage. And we find, starting in the middle here, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So here Paul is talking about the food that you eat being sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And then we have in 1 Corinthians 7:14, this one, because of this common understanding of the word sanctified and not understanding its broad sense, this verse gets misunderstood all the time. 1 Corinthians 7:14 says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. And there's been people who have taught that if you're saved, your spouse is saved. It's pretty ridiculous. But if you're going to narrow the word sanctification down to the act of God sanctifying you, making you a saint, that's what this would necessitate. But if you understand the broad and general sense of the word sanctified, you can understand that all this means is this individual is set apart, having extra blessing, grace, extra access to God in a special way from someone who doesn't have the blessing of having a spouse who is saved. We find in 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So here we're told to set the Lord apart in our hearts. So again, we see very broad usage of the word sanctification when you look over the whole of Scripture. Yet, when we generally use the word, we are referring to something very specific. We are referring to the work of God, and specifically the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, conforming us to the image of Christ and making us more and more holy. We find in Romans 6:19, Paul says, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." And that word holiness, same Greek word that's many times been translated sanctified or sanctification. Same word. "For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from sin. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Present, continuous. We find in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we see this as a something that's present and continuous. A process. In theology, the term has been coined progressive sanctification. And I believe it's very biblical and accurate to use that. 2 Peter doesn't use the word, but you get the idea in 2 Peter 1:5 through 9. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." We have in 1 Corinthians 9:6-11, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So even here, sometimes you see the word sanctified and it's very obvious, a progression. God, sanctify you wholly. Yield your members unto holiness. But then sometimes, and I was looking at this, I was going back and forth. He says, but ye are sanctified. Here you don't get the sense so much of a progress. This seems to be more a position. You are sanctified. So even there we see the word used both ways. So sanctification is a work of God. And this is where later on I'm going to get an illustration on the board to illustrate this towards the end. I'm even hoping to have a little bit of feedback from you guys. But for now, let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to read a little bit of a lengthy portion here. So we see starting in about verse 11 that Peter was come to Antioch and Paul withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James. He did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew himself and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith, are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid! For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Having begun in the flesh, are ye so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, sorry, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? I want you to keep that verse in mind for when I come back later and I'm writing things on the board. We find in Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Galatians 5:4, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen for grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? You know, now's the time to get started on this. What we do. Give that more room too, so you can read it back there. Who we are. And the world works this way. The world wants to define who we are by what we do. I'm hoping to, have you, some of you guys open up and give me some more examples. The world, even in the worldly philosophy, in a secular sense, the world defines who we are by what we do, and it creates incredible competition. This is why the world has to have their big houses and their fancy cars and their big statements of who they, of what they have and their success, because that defines who they are. But I want to take this back a couple more steps. Who God is, and what did He do? Because, let me write world here. God judges sinners. And God is a just judge. God is a just judge. He judges sinners. We are sinners, and we sin. God is love. He sent His Son. He made us saints. And therefore we live holy. Because the Bible works this way. We first understand who God is, then we understand what He did, and that defines who we are, and out of who we are comes what we do. So, you can take good works over here. And if we're going to be a self-righteous person, we're going to work backwards. And our good works tell us that we're a good person. And if we're a good person, we don't need a Savior. And we don't need God. But if we're going to start over here, with God being a just judge who judges sinners, and we sin, and then when we understand that God is love and He sent His Son and He's made us saints, we live holy. And over here, these two things look the same, but they are completely opposite. Because here we are living holy out of understanding who God is. Here, we are looking at our good works and letting that define who God is. So I'm talking about sanctification. And I'm talking about that progressive life of becoming more and more holy. And I'm talking about how we need to pursue holiness. We need to pursue holiness as we have it written in Romans 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me read that verse again, and I want you to look at this picture and think of the way that Paul is working. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's exactly opposite from Paul when he says so many other places that we're saved by faith, not by works. Philippians 2, I don't know exactly how I had this fit in, but it's a good verse. Philippians 2:12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So again, yeah, we have work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And you'll find as you look through the Bible, every time we find a call to holiness, you're going to find it in a context of who God is, as far as I've ever found. And then when you find people who are trying to be accepted by God by working backwards, it's not in a context of who God is. It's in a context of who they are. And we're going to find that over here, if you try working this way, there's going to be two things that you're going to be. You're going to either be legalistic or you're going to be lawless. Those are your two options if you're going to live this way. Because you're either going to look at yourself, you're going to look at your good works, and you're going to see yourself as a good person, and you're going to be legalistic. Or you're going to look at your lack of good works, you're going to see that you're a sinner. And then when you see that God judges sinners, that's going to tell you that God is a bad God, because you're working backwards. And then you're going to be lawless. So it doesn't matter what you do, if you start on this side, you're going to get in trouble. If you start on this side seeing of yourself as a sinner, you're going to see God as a bad God, because he judges sinners. If you start on this side looking at your good works, you're going to see yourself as a good person and you don't need God. But if you start on this side looking at who God is, and you see what he did, and then you let that define who we are, out of that will naturally flow a holy life. And that is sanctification. Letting the work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in you flow out. This is the will of God, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Even your sanctification. I said earlier that sanctification is the work of God, though it has some of us in it. It's a work of God. We find that in Romans 15:16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And here, again, we have both. And I want you to notice even here what one comes first. I hadn't seen this till I just read it again. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. If you focus on yourself and you think that you're attain such a high level because of all the truth that you have understood and believed. You're going to be working backwards this way. And then the verse is going to apply to you where Paul says, how does he say it? Charity edifieth, but knowledge puffeth up. But if you take this verse in the order in which it's written, through sanctification of the Spirit first, and belief of the truth second, then it fits perfectly into the Christian life. 1 Peter 1:2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. We're sanctified by the Spirit, and out of that naturally flows obedience. But if we look at our obedience as itself our sanctification, and we try to work backwards this way, by the time we get over to our image of God, we're going to have a very poor image of who God is. Each individual in their own sinfulness is going to define it in a different way. But it's through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. So my whole purpose, and I hope I've made this clear, is that sanctification is a holy life. If we are saved, if we have been justified, we are sanctified. And that work, that sanctifying work of the Spirit is taking place in our lives now, making us more and more godly. But it's working from who God is, and out of that naturally flows a sanctified life. And if we focus on ourselves, we focus on what we do, trying to make ourselves sanctified, it's going to backfire, as Brandon always tells us. Not to say there's nothing that we do. It's just what we do has to start on the foundation of who God is. And let good works flow out of that. And it'll flow naturally. So I said I wanted a little bit of feedback. Does anybody have any other ideas of things that fit into this? Sure. That's a good point to make. And that's very, because that's very easy to do. I mean, this is not a black and white. This is just a little bit of a visual. And as sinners, we can come up with any wild combination.
Very, very often to start with, who God is, just judge, who am I, a sinner, all right?
And then over here on the couple other things, we try to start here and work back. And that's exactly what Paul was addressing when he says, are you so foolish? Have you begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect in the flesh? When it came to salvation, when it came to justification, the Galatians understood. Yes, God is a just judge who judges sinners. We're sinners. They understood these two lines, exactly what Noah was saying. Yet they thought, oh, but now to become more holy? The rest of our lives, we're going to work this way. We're going to start keeping the law. We're going to start being circumcised. We're going to stop eating pork. We're going to start doing this. We're going to start keeping the feasts. And Paul says, are you so foolish? You started this way. You started working from God to who we are. You started by faith. And now you're going to switch and start working back? And that's exactly what Paul said to the Colossians in Colossians 2:6. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You received Him by faith, all about who God is and what He did, and we simply just receive it, and that defines who we are. You started walking by faith, and now you're going to start in turn and start looking at your good works and start working backwards. So yeah, good point. Thank you, Noah. Anything else before we close?
There's one important thing that man sins with so often. It's one of the things, of course, when as a sinner we are proud, and this one good works thing has a major problem with one simple thing. When we are somebody who is involved in good works, we become a very worthy person. We become very large, and we actually, in our own opinions, become self-sufficient and able to take care of ourselves. And at that point, we shrink God down to a little teeny nothing, because we have accomplished what we need for ourselves. And the fact that we don't need Him means He's far less important than us. And His word about us becomes irrelevant. We don't believe it. We don't believe the fact that He says we're bad. We don't believe in the fact He says there's a coming judgment for all men, because we have accomplished something. We have grown ourselves beyond Him. And that's one of the problems with good works. God does like holiness, but He absolutely cannot handle pride when we start lifting ourselves up above what we truly are and start putting ourselves above God, is what we do when we try to be justified or sanctified by good works.